shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over WWCR 4.840 megahertz. A new frequency. I hope that they keep it there for a while. They've changed a couple times recently. WBCQ 7.415 megahertz, and you can hear it on the internet, both over the WWCR link, transmitter 3, and the WBCQ link, and also off of our webpage at the Kingdom Concepts player. You have several alternatives for the type of player you want to use right there. That comes directly from our studio and should be real clear. Our webpage is kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com, and then you go to our radio page and you can find this. And also our archived broadcast, or a link to our archive broadcast, which not only have the archives for the Kingdom Concepts broadcast each month, but our weekly Herald of Truth program, which is a pre-recorded program, and I believe it's some of the best sermons you'll hear anywhere. Last week we had Pastor Compre on Divine Protection in Our Day. I'd recommend that as something that will encourage people to the power of Yahweh. This coming week we're going to have one by Dr. Wesley Swift on the shaking earth, which is a timely subject in lieu of the earthquakes we've had lately. Anyway, I'd like you to, if possible, give us a reception report, not only on the shortwave stations and compare them, but give us a reception report of the links from the shortwave stations and our Kingdom Concepts broadcast. Call and do that, or send us an email, or write us, or so on. My regular guest host, Pastor James Wickstrom, will not be with us tonight. He's been having some illness that's come on, and he was advised by his doctor to lower his stress levels immediately. And he told me he was trying to do too much in too little time, and I certainly understand that. It brings up another subject that I've mentioned before. There's a lot of us trying to do Yahweh's work, and we could use some help out here. And all the people have are your time and your money. Of course, we appreciate your tithes and donations. That helps carry on the work. Radio and printing and all the other expenses are very expensive. But somebody to assist and simply do the work is most useful. And if you're able to assist, I believe my guest host tonight could also use assistance. I know that he's a very busy man, and we've all been in this for many, many years, the ministers I'm speaking of, and we're trying to carry on a work, and not everybody is doing a work that's carrying on the traditional message. They've either distorted the message, or they have sometimes they kind of spin their wheels and go in different directions that are not too effective. And we certainly could use assistance here. In fact, some of our donors have asked that I tell you some of the ways we could use assistance. It is kind of a hands-on job right here at the ministry, and that makes it difficult because there are not a lot of believers in this area who can give of their time. But at a distance, there we could use some typesetting. We could use some of the tech types who could actually take our broadcast and rebroadcast it over some of these internet stations, or who could make connections for a local radio station. We'd love to have some other stations. If you're going to pay for it, we'll make arrangements with you. And I assume there's still some of you out there that do some of the rebroadcasting on these mini FM transmitters. Anyway, this is talk show tonight, not a listen show. That means we would appreciate your calls. We have a toll-free number, area code 877-924-7722. That's 877-924-7722 to participate in the broadcast. I'm pleased to announce tonight as my guest host, a man who's been in the ministry a long, long time. He's faithful to the traditional message and a hard worker and a longtime friend, and that's Pastor Ralph Forbes. Welcome, brother.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Mike. I'm glad to be here.
You're up there in Washington, D.C. again, aren't you?
Well, I'm actually in the suburbs right now, flying in. I flew in earlier today, and I'll tell you what, I was surprised. I left Arkansas. It was around, I guess, almost 60 degrees this morning, and flying somewhere past Cincinnati, I guess West Virginia. I'm not sure where I was, but, I mean, it was just unbelievable looking down out the window at the snow that's still on the hill there. And I think it was the Blue Ridge. It's unbelievably beautiful down there. But and where I'm at now, I'm a guest at home here, and everyone is in bed. And so I'm off here in a room by myself. It's about 40 degrees, trying to be quiet so I don't disturb them. But I talk about being busy, unbelievably.
I believe you told me that your office roof fell in down there.
Well, it didn't quite fall in, but it leaked back. I don't know if we've had unbelievable weather this year. Of course, everybody's having global warming. Pardon my, but you know we have had very strange weather, and it rained incredibly this summer. And anyway, this office where I have probably over 1,000 books, I've been collecting and reading. I've read them all. I don't just collect them, but books, you know, a lot of rare books. And the roof started leaking, and managed to get things out of the way. But it actually got so bad that the rain, where it was leaking, rotted a hole right in the floor. And of course, I was gone away working a lot this summer, or last summer. And when I was home, though, it was raining. There was nothing I could do, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And anyway, I've been doing a lot of work besides, you know, I've had a lot of computer problems, so it seems like Satan's trying to hinder it. But let's talk about something of more interest, I think, to people who are listening. One of the things I'm doing right now is there's two books that people need to be aware of. Titles slip me a little bit, but they're both very big books in Israel. They're very big books. And one of them is by a Jewish professor, and he looks at Jesus in the Talmud. And he quite openly tells, you know, we have studied it, know what's in there. And he quite, you know, he tells how, according to the Talmud, they boast about killing Jesus, and he certainly deserved it, according to them, that he's boiling in, I don't know if I can say it on the air, but he's boiling in
semen. I'll say it for you.
Yes, boiling, yeah. Excrement.
They call his mother Mary a whore in there.
Yeah. Oh,
very,
yeah.
Vile book. We carry the Plot Against Christianity by Elizabeth Dilling, if anybody would be interested in.
That's well documented.
Was they ever written?
But this book is by a Jewish professor out of one of the major universities. It's printed by them, and I can't believe it got through the censors. You know, think about a year or two ago, a professor in Italy, a Jewish professor, wrote a book about Jewish ritual murder.
Really?
And he documented the whole thing, and oh man, it hit the fan. And of course, the book got censored, but I have it up on the internet. I'm trying to think of the URL for that, but yeah, it is. I'm going to say if you Google Jewish ritual murder and try it, Italian professor, I think you'll hit on the story, and hopefully you hit on the places where we have it up on the book itself. Even though
I used to correspond with a lady in northern Italy a number of years ago, and she was doing some research and going to write on Jewish ritual murder, and she kept running into opposition from the priests because they held the records of certain ritual murder that had taken place, especially among children and so on.
Yeah.
And it was the priestcraft themselves that held it up, which maybe shouldn't be surprising.
Oh, yeah, they've gone through and they're doing some terrible things. They're like tearing down all these memorials to these children that have been up for centuries. You know, they just, it's like 1984. They want to change history, change the, rewrite history for the political correctness, I guess you'd call it. Or
a little bit last month on the Black History Month. I think we have a caller, Alan from Michigan, on line two. Are you there, Alan?
Yeah. I want to know what happened to Pastor Wickstrom.
Pastor Wickstrom's had an illness coming on, and his doctor advised him that he had to cut his stress levels immediately. So he said he was trying to do too much, so he wasn't able to be with us tonight. I'm hoping in the future that Pastor Wickstrom will be back. I'm sure everybody in the listening audience will want to keep him in their prayers. I did get an email from him earlier tonight, and I see that he has a tape offer or a video offer for this month. So he's still out there, but he needs to lower his load and stress levels.
The other thing is, I tried to get your signal, but it's not coming in. Was it 4880 or something, rather?
4840 is the current WWCR frequency. WBCQ is 7.415.
Wait, 7415?
Yeah, that's WBCQ out of Maine. WWCR, which is a powerful station out of Nashville, is 4.840 now. That has changed last month, and then before that it was different too. So,
but are you on 7415?
Yeah, we should be on 7415 also, WBCQ.
Huh. I went through the 40s, 4840, 4880, and I couldn't pick it up. Oh,
well. Maybe somebody out there could call the station if it's not broadcasting.
I wanted to say, one last thing I wanted to say, was I felt sorry about the people in Haiti. Do you know the reason why?
Why is that?
So many of them survived.
As I pointed out last month, the scripture tells us that the Satan, the dragon, would flood the woman, and that flood is with other races, and that the earth would help the woman, and earthquakes actually do help us from being flooded by some of these alien races. I know that's a hard...
You know, I live in a small town outside of Detroit, and I see so much race mixing, it's pathetic. It's terrible. All these things, you know, men with Chinese women are in especially white women with blacks all the time. It's really repulsive.
Well, that's what's being pushed on us by the media, the schools, and movies, and everything else to make it seem normal.
I was just talking to a woman just the other day, and she had called me about something. She's from Texas. And I asked her what she thought about, you know, all this race mixing. And she says, well, it looks like you're describing me. And I said, don't you want to live in an area but that's all your one race? She says, no. She says, I like, you know, and it's all the Chinese and the Mexicans and the blacks and everything. No, she says, I like it like that. And she says, you know, I'm married to a black guy. And she's just like totally off the wall. She would be happy in a big racial stew, you know, And I couldn't get over it, how she could be like that. And I said, I want to be in an area where it's all white.
They must only have an inferiority complex in order to lower themselves to such a level as to mix with the other races.
Yeah, but no matter how inferior they feel, nobody could go to be like that. I mean, to be at home with everybody just all mixed up like that, I couldn't take it. I guess there's something wrong with me. I just want to be around white people. Okay, well, I'll try 7415 then. Okay, bye.
Ralph, you're up there helping with the American Free Press, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons I came back here this time, yeah. Also, I'm helping with the Barnes Review, which is a historical magazine. Oh, let me tell you, the latest issue they just came out, do you know Michael Hoffman II? Are you familiar with him?
Yes.
Okay, one of the books that he wrote was called The White Slavery, documenting the horrors of white slavery. And he just wrote a new article, well documented. And in that article, it's unbelievable. And he proves it beyond a doubt that there were more white slaves brought over here by the Rothschild British Empire than black slaves. And that the black slaves were more economically important to them. Therefore, like the mortality rate, it was pretty severe amongst blacks, the way they were brought under, chained under the holds of ships. And I think it was 12% or something like that died en route. Well, the Irish and the Scots and the people that they were kidnapped and brought aboard these ships were in even worse conditions, more crowded, under more terrible conditions. And their mortality rate was more than double the black rate. And there was a Frenchman who wrote a book, this one little incident. He came to visit America, see what it was like, and he saw these blacks throwing cotton bales down into the holds of these ships. And they didn't care what they were, just throwing them. And down below were all white men catching the bales and scurrying for their lives to make sure they weren't hit. And so he asked about it, and the people that were running this said, well, the blacks are more expensive, so we can't afford to have anything happen to them. But these mixed, we can get, they're just throwaways. So, if one of them gets killed or gets paralyzed or something, we throw them overboard. We don't care. And that's not in our history books. And yet it's well documented. It's not like it's some big secret. It's not like it's some big secret that all of the slave traders that brought the blacks over here were Jews out of Newport, Rhode Island, mostly. And yet the history, the horrible history of white slavery, they would go into Scotland and into Ireland, and these mobs, these gangs would, the word kidnapping comes from kidnapping. They would nab children and take them over for slave labor. And if they got in the Barbados and places like that, they lived maybe a year. The mortality rate was that bad. And the slave labor in this country, some of the factories, little girls would get their hair caught in the machines and they'd be scalped alive. And if a kid got hurt on the job and couldn't work anymore, they just sent him out the door. They didn't care where he was going to sleep, where he was going to eat. He wasn't making any money for him, so bye-bye. And the
Jewish money power all through history.
Yeah, all through history. Yeah, if you go back in the Jewish encyclopedia, they brag about how they've run slavery since Roman times and ever since. And they still run it today. They run white slavery today. Israel is just full of white slaves that they trick out of Eastern Europe or kidnap. And these girls, or even boys, anybody that they get into their rackets, they're totally helpless. And these Jew gangs just work them to death, literally.
If they can escape and go to the police carry them right back.
They do what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said if they're able to escape the situation and go to the police, the police will bring them right back.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's horrible over in Israel. And I started to tell you about this other book. Now, this book is a 200, almost, let's say 250 pages. and is written by one of their chief rabbis. And the whole book is devoted. He went through all the, quote, Jewish scriptures, and he found out all the wonderful reasons why Jews should be able to kill Goyim, and how to kill them, and how to get away with killing them. And all the leaders of Israel are just devouring this book, how wonderful it is. And it's right in the Jewish Haaretz, you know, the regular Jewish newspapers. It's just, like I was telling somebody tonight, I can remember seeing things on television, these situation comedies, quote, you know, and they're saying, they're talking about white women, they call them shiksas. In blacks, they call them schwarzers. But mainly, you know, white women, they call shiksas. And, of course, you know what that means, right? Okay, it's Yiddish for, a piece of meat. It means any non-Jewish woman is a shiksa. She's just a piece of meat that a Jew can do anything he wants with. And so for them to use that on television, and it's sort of like they're saying...
Well, they're actually using it on TV now.
Yeah. And it's sort of like they're rubbing it in the faces because most white people don't know what the term means. They don't know Yiddish. And they don't know how derogatory it is. And they're sort of boasting of their power to their fellow Jews. Hey, look what we can do. We can get away with it. There might have been a time in the past where if they had done that openly, where, the people would have come with pitchforks and torches.
Well, they used to even change their names to so-called Gentile names, white people's names, hide the fact. But they don't do that anymore. They're just right out there in the open.
Oh, yeah, they're very, very proud of it. You know, very open about everything. You know, Jewish power, and I guess they just figure everybody's so brainwashed, they control the money system, which controls everything. And then on the one hand, they got everybody convinced they're God's chosen people. And then the other thing that they got going for them is, they were the victims of this so-called Holocaust. And therefore, no matter what, we got to let them get away with murder because they were the survivors of this horrible propaganda, you know, the lie of the big lie of the 6 million, which is
part of the problem is the Judeo-Christian preachers telling us the lies and our so-called conservative leadership, these kosher conservatives out there. They'll give you a half truth and they won't go the rest of the way. I was listening to, I believe it was called CPAC, the conservative convention, earlier this month up there, and the person speaking, I'm not sure who he was, he sounded sort of like a preacher, he correctly said that we had unalienable rights,
right,
you know, as mentioned in the Declaration of Independence, and that they come from God, and these are rights that cannot be taken away. So he mentioned that in like about two sentences later, he said that Miranda rights should not be given to, what do they call them? A term for prisoners of war that they... Detainees, you know?
Yeah, detainees, and, yeah.
So what he was saying was Miranda rights come from the government and that the government is the source of our rights and they shouldn't be given to certain peoples if we call them detainees. Well, that same thing can apply to us, not just foreign people.
And exactly.
They are trying to throw American citizens in prison without any habeas corpus. And we need to recognize that our rights come from Yahweh. And these other races, they have the same rights. And we shouldn't be afraid to give them rights. I mean, a person should be charged with a crime if he's liable for that crime or let loose if he's not, you know.
Exactly. This thing of this, one of these guys at CPAC, I don't know where he's coming from exactly. Maybe he's just a brainwashed idiot himself, or maybe he knows what he's doing. But a guy that he says a lot of good things that are true, but he puts in a lot of poison is this guy, Glenn Beck. He's not religious per se. In fact, I get the impression he's anti-religious pretty much, or he doesn't think much of it. But his political line is sort of like a lot of truth, and then he comes up with this horrible stuff. And, like, one of the things is with this sheikh or whatever, I don't know who he is, the one that supposedly confessed to being the mastermind of this plot, which obviously was not what the government theory is, the government conspiracy theory, that you know, all the forensic evidence, all the scientific evidence says that this thing was an inside job. There's no doubt it was not done by a half a dozen Arabs on a joyride. It just didn't happen.
And the way the buildings, including Building 7, that wasn't even hit by a plane came down, which was a demolition. Anybody who knows about demolition knows that it came straight down because charges were set.
Well, yeah, and so with all of that information, what I'm thinking, like the sheikh, whoever he is, like they don't want to put him on a trial because, one, it'd probably be obvious he's either insane or been driven insane with drugs and things for a show trial, or if he's got some sanity and he did have a decent lawyer, which would be hard to imagine, but they'd bring out the fact that this is all BS and that this is, he might have confessed under torture, but, I mean, that's like the old Soviet show trial. I mean, like the first time when 9/11 happened, you know, I immediately thought of like Revelation 17. I said, you know, this may not be the fulfillment, but this is a type of it. And this is Babylon getting ready to go down. And I recognized, I went on the internet immediately trying to find things. And out of New Mexico, where the government pays this university to do demolitions, and, you know, just bomb buildings, so they know how to bomb them and so on. The guy that's the expert on bombing, the guy that's in charge of it all, he looked at it, he said immediately, he said, this was controlled demolition. This was an implosion. It was perfect. You know, there's no other way you could explain those buildings coming down the way they came down. Now, the important point about this is the next day, that same website of the New Mexico newspaper was exactly the opposite. He said it was not a controlled explosion. And it wasn't like, say, it was a correction. Like sometimes if a newspaper makes a mistake or something, they'll put a correction. This was Orwellian 1984, wipe out, erase the first thing and replace it with something else without even letting anyone know they'd done it. So that was like the, to me, one of the strongest proofs to begin with. And then then all the forensic evidence, anybody who knows anything about physics knows that it had to have been done by controlled implosions and very well timed. And then the Danish scientist who I interviewed, he said it was definitely nanotechnology. It was this type of explosion, type of military stuff. I mean, just high grade. And nobody does. The only people that would have it would be the United States and Israel. It's just not something that,
I believe a lot of these recruits do, if they are Arabs, are recruited by Mossad.
Exactly. This Nigerian the other day. I mean, the guy might be an idiot and everything else, but there's no question he was like a patsy. In 1984, you have this, Goldberg, or I forget the name, but he was totally set up by the government, the 1984 Orwellian government, and to be a Judas goat to attract, in other words, can you imagine with knowing the control of everything, you have websites that are recruiting terrorists, and the, quote, terrorists are recruiting people, and the government can't find them? I mean, it's just irrational.
Fair if anybody points it out. You had the leader of Iran, I guess it was yesterday, point out that 9/11 was staged. And of course, they bring in all that he's a Holocaust denier and all that stuff is all on the news today. And he's one of the few people in the world that's actually standing up to the New World Order, but he's very much smeared by the media.
Well, of course. I mean, and that's what they'll do. It says in the Talmud, any nation that gets out of line, every other nation they control, they'll bring to war against them. And it says the same thing in the protocols. And so we're living in that kind of an age. And, you know, the evil people are in charge. And the only reason that I'm upset about it, but the only reason I'm not, is I read the back of the book. And I know how it's going to turn out. So, and I know that this is stuff that is inevitable, and it's our duty to fight this evil by every means that we can. And even though we're outnumbered and we don't have the resources, we got one thing on our side they don't have, and that's Yahweh. And because of that, it's horrible, but it's not as bad as it might appear to the natural mind, that's for sure.
Right. Well, Yahweh is all-powerful, and I'd again invite our listeners to listen to our archive broadcast, Divine Protection in Our Day, from last week. I see that I've gotten some emails that both WWCR and WBCQ are now online. So we'd invite you to tune in. If you're listening over the Internet, our own station, we'd like to know reception reports. And we'd invite you to call. The number is 877-924-7722. That spells out 877-YAH's-RACE. That's you people, Yahweh's children. It's 877-924-22 if you'd like to call in and participate in the program tonight. We're at the half point, the end of the bottom of the hour. I'd like to give a little bit of contact information. Then, Ralph, if you have some, also let you give your information. You can contact us at Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. Our website is www.kingidentity.com. That's KingIdentity.com. And you can go on our website, on our homepage, down near the bottom, you'll see a place where you can get an information packet. You can write us, or you can go and fill it in there. Or you can call area code 870-741-1119 tomorrow and tell the operator that you'd like an information packet. We carry some of the best books available on the Kingdom Identity Message, books, tapes, videos. We have a Bible correspondence course carrying on the work of Dr. Wesley Swift and Pastor Bertrand Compre, the American Institute of Theology Bible Correspondence course, and of course we're on the radio, Real Radio, plus the Internet. And we believe it's a work that's worthy to look into, and we'd encourage you to contact us. Ralph, do you have some contact information?
Oh, yeah, sure. If anybody wants to contact me by a snail mail, it's Box 88, London, Arkansas, 72847. Box 88, London, Arkansas, 72847. I got a number of websites I do. I think one of them that most of your readers might appreciate is www.peacemakersnow.com. It's the word peacemakers followed by the letters NWO, peacemakersnow.com. And one of them, this is kind of, I'm thinking, I guess I can give this out. I'm working on a webpage for Barnes Review. I don't have the regular one up, but I've got a test page up, which is called barnesreview.me. That's www.barnesreview.me, like in the word me. And it's not complete by any means, but if they follow through in there, one of the, what I'm trying to think of, I'm so tired I can't remember, but if you go to the videos, I think it's one of the video links off the top menu. You can get down to where I've got temporarily in there some of the videos that I put up on YouTube, and one of the videos that I think, if they get to this page on YouTube, what is it, Video Master, or you can just get to YouTube and Google in Benny Hinn, or Benny Hinn Wants FRNs, I think. And people that have seen, they tell me it's one of the funniest things they've ever seen of some of these prostitutes behind the pulpit who literally are Jew worshippers and are begging for money and getting lots of money because they preach all these lies. And it kind of sticks a pin right in them and lets all the air out of their gas bag. So.
Yeah, you have to go to the small remnant, or among the small remnant, to get truth. It's been that way throughout history. I see we have a caller on line 2, Paul from Oklahoma. Paul, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'd like to just make a comment before you're talking about the Jews and, you know, how they call non-Jewish women shishka and things like this. And I used to, you know, bring up those points before, but you really have to admire the fact that Jews are a tribal people, because the white race has to get back to accepting the fact that, first off, white is okay, and that they are white. And the fact that whites have to finally get back to the point of realizing that these other people are what Yahweh called unclean. They're sewer people. You understand? They're not of us, and we should develop the same mentality as the Jewish people do.
Excuse me? Is that our people don't have any racial pride anymore? Every other race has some organization that's boosting their race, but our people, like I said, don't have any racial pride. The Jews work themselves.
The census is coming up right now.
Products to each other cheaper than they will to the goy, as they call us. Our people should do the same thing. We should try to benefit each other.
But the census is coming up right now, and you know, the 2010 census. And I remember, I mean, it's just been talked about a lot. And every time that they have the census, they count a lot of non-white, especially sewer people, as white. So we don't even get an accurate count of the whites. And you can go all over the internet, you know, use different search engines for anyone out there that's listening, and see that most of the races of European descent are at the point right now where it's impossible, and that's the word, impossible, for them to maintain a birth rate. In the Bible, it says, this generation will not pass away. This race will not pass away. This chosen people will not pass away before I come again. So we know that it's very close, and it's time for him to come back. And a lot of people are going to be surprised, because this race, which just, I mean, like I said, it's just a known fact. It is impossible for the white race to reproduce and maintain as people anymore. The Bible says this generation, this race will not pass away before I come back. Yahweh bless.
Thank you for your call, Paul. I might mention, as I have mentioned before, that prophecy that Christ gave was as in the days of Noah, which was race mixing, marrying and giving in marriage, and as in the days of Lot, and that was homosexuality. And if Satan were to win, these are two techniques that he uses. Of course, we know he's not going to win, as Ralph mentioned a little bit. We've read the end of the book, but homosexuality, you know, they don't reproduce, and race mixing, they destroy the chosen seed line, the chosen race, the holy seed. And so those are two ways to stop the prophecy from being fulfilled, where we have the symbolically the 12 gates of Israel and entering into the kingdom, or the city four square, and you need to be an Israelite to enter into the kingdom. There will be the other races on the outside. So these are two things for the last days, and there's never been more homosexuality or more race mixing than there is today. And I'm sure everybody sees that in their own area, that just a year ago, 5 years ago, there were less alien races and less homosexuals. When I was in high school, the teachers would tell jokes about homosexuals in class, and nobody would think of such a thing. If they had they were queer, they'd be in the closet. I'm sure it was the same way with you, Ralph.
Oh, I can remember when I was in high school, I heard kids talk about this would be hitchhiking, and they were picked up by a queer, or you can call them a fairy, I don't know. And to me, it was like an urban legend. I thought they were making this stuff. I didn't think there were such people. And even when I got out of the Marine Corps and was out, you know, in L.A. and San Francisco, and I found out, you know, there were queers, they were still you know, obviously a very sick minority. The psychopath, the, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists had deemed these people in their book, what DMSOD, what do you call it? It's the their official diagnosis handbook. Homosexuals were loonies. You had to be crazy to be queer. There's something wrong with you. And then all these queers, these queer Jews got in there in the 60s and they infiltrated it and they took over and they used terrorism and they took over this, the Jewish profession anyway, but they made sure any of the goyim or any of the Jews that weren't going along with it were kicked out. They replaced them all and they completely reversed it where, oh, it's normal to be a queer. And then they got into the media so strong, and they, one of their tricks was, gee, we can't have people laughing at us. We've got to have people laughing with us. And their propaganda, I think it was Norman Lear, people that worked for Norman Lear, said something about, look, for even 1 second of television time, when you're reaching millions of people, of course that was before you had all the satellites, when there's only 3 channels, basically. They said, you know, for 1 second, we'll spend 100 hours a week and millions of dollars to get that 1 second just right to get our message across. And so they've pushed this thing. I mean, my God, like, you know, what they're doing now is the government, is like the military, is saying, you know, it's not even if we're going to let queers, you know, be in the military openly, like, but the government is saying it's just how to implement it. That's what Bill, that's what Gates, the Secretary of Defense, said under Obama, as you know, the orders come down, how to implement. And even under this crazy system that we have, it is actually against the law for the president to change that policy. I mean, only Congress could do it, and really, Congress can't do it. It would be totally against the founding principles of this nation to pass a law forcing patriotic young Americans to have to serve with and under queers in the United States military. It's insane. It's sick. It's disgusting. And
certainly against Yahweh's laws, which
absolutely
calls for execution.
Well, our country was founded under Yahweh's laws.
Yeah.
It was very clear. I mean, even people like the two that were the least religious were Jefferson and Franklin, and I've studied, I've gone into their writings, and even though they didn't belong to any normal, you know, to an official, I don't say normal, but an official denomination per se, and they wanted to keep their religious, they definitely believed that our rights come from God, and that God was in charge, and that, I think it was Franklin said, you know, God knows when a sparrow falls, so obviously he's going to have his eye on when the nation is being founded. And, you know, he said that we couldn't possibly establish a republic or a form of government under God without prayer and without acknowledging that God had to be in charge.
Well, that's, again, is part of our problem, is the political leadership and the leadership in the churches has changed. I just heard, just a few days ago, 2 or 3 days ago, I heard an interview by Mitt Romney. I believe it was at the press club there in Washington, D.C., asking him questions. And he criticized people who believe that our laws come from God instead of from government. And I couldn't believe, well, maybe I could believe it because, you know, these kosher conservative phonies as they are. And he went on, and the person interviewing him asked if he believed this was a Christian republic. And he hemmed and hawed around and finally said, well, it's partly based on Judeo-Christianity, but we have other things such as Judaism and Hinduism and so on and so forth. And this is a person that's supposedly, you know, a conservative Christian man. He came in second in that CPAC poll. I was actually glad to see that he seemed to be waking up where Ron Paul took the top spot in the poll. But the people have nowhere to go. They've got false leaders, and so they're waking up. We've got this Tea Party movement. We've got some of the town hall meetings and certain people waking up, and yet their leadership is turning them astray. I noticed that Mike Huckabee, who both Ralph and I know, is a phony down here in Arkansas that did everything he could to bring about illegal immigration into this state and a number of other things, but he he said the reason he didn't go to CPAC was because it was turning too libertarian for him with people like Ron Paul. So these kosher conservatives lead you astray in every way and then tell you that we've got a Judeo-Christian, which is an oxymoron, heritage, and then you've got the preachers telling you, well, you just forgive homosexuals, or right now I've heard them say, let them into the churches, because that's the way that we can preach to them. It's an abomination, folks.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, I've known Mike Huckabee for a long time, and one of the things I remember about him was, anyway, he had some patriot. He was going to speak at a meeting where the guy was sort of a patriot, was showing up, and was going to be on the same platform with him, and the Jew pressure came on Huckabee not to show up, and Huckabee, when he bowed out publicly, you know, he got, oh my God, I'm sorry, this guy's a hate monger, I don't want to be with him. And one of his remarks was that he couldn't, how did he say it? I'm paraphrasing it now, so it's not a direct quote, but it's sort of like, you cannot be saved if you don't accept the fact that 6 million Jews were slaughtered by Hitler. And it can't be 6,000,001, it can't be 500,999 and 99,999. It has to be exactly 6 million. This is like an article of faith. This is, he didn't say that exactly, but I'm paraphrasing, but that was the gist of his message. You couldn't have any salvation, you couldn't fellowship, you couldn't do anything with somebody who didn't accept the most important thing in the universe, which was that 6 million, exactly. Not one less, not one more, but the significant number of 6 million Jews. And
their own yearbooks disprove that, the figure. They'd had to kill every Jew in Europe several times over, you know, in order to come up with a figure like that. And it's easily disprovable, but our people are being led astray again by their leadership out there.
You know, like I was telling my daughter today when she drove me to the airport, she was asking questions about, you know, what I could remember. And I grew up as a kid under World War II, right? And so I was, my dad, anyway, because of his work, I definitely went to a lot of schools. We moved around a lot. And the first few years after World War II, the schools in this country were flooded with what they call DPs, displaced persons. They were all Jews. They were all, quote, survivors. I mean, it must have been 6 million of them flooded into this country. And one of the things that happened, which people don't know, it's gone down the memory hole, was that Harry Dexter Weiss, or Harry Dexter White, as he's known or called himself, under FDR, was a communist agent, proven Soviet agent now, and he had given our money plates and the special paper to the communists in the Eastern Germany, Eastern occupied Germany under the Soviets, where they were printing money as fast as they could, and all these Jews were coming over here with carpet bags full of this communist counterfeit money, and they were buying up Main Street, buying up all the housing, so that when the GIs actually were released from the military and came back here, there were no houses. There were no jobs. Because the Jews had bought up everything before the GIs got back. They bought up Main Street, America, you know, not the, everything, but predominantly, just huge, huge, because they had all this, you know, like I say, carpet bags full of money that the communists printed and gave to all these Jews to come over here and swarm into America, like he said before, like coming in like a flood.
It's not just that way. They do it through their depressions and recessions. They're doing it right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this money manipulation is done at the top by Jewish bankers, and they're foreclosing, and the bailouts are not helping the man on Main Street. They're helping the Jewish bankers.
Well, yeah, and another insane thing, which I don't know why people don't get it. You know, say, there's no money. Why is there no money? Because the banks aren't lending. You know, hello, that's telling you that's where the money, all of our money comes in as debt. The banks create it out of thin air by lending it. And they lend it under why God made it a death penalty to practice this usury. I mean, I think it was Hoskins,
came up with this idea, this very simple story. They'll loan you 10, but you promise to pay back 11. Well, the 10 came into existence when they created it. That's all they created it. So there's no way in the world to pay back 11 because it doesn't exist. They only created 10. And so you multiply that times millions of people, and everybody's loaned a certain amount of, quote, principal, and they got to pay back the principal plus interest. The interest was never created. Well, that works for a certain cycle of time while they keep lending money. As long as they keep lending money, it goes in there, and people can pay back. But once they stop lending, then there's no more. If people pay it back, money disappears.
We have a cartoon book called The Temple of Imaginary Money.
Yes, very good.
Which shows this, illustrates that money's a hard subject for a lot of people, and this explains it in a very simple way to show people what's actually happened to the real money, the silver, the gold, and the banking system, and also has a section on biblical law in there. I'd like to invite our listeners to call in tonight. I'm told that both WBCQ and WWCR are back online now. We were off for a while, and I'm hoping that you're hearing our podcast, and I'd like to know, if nothing else, a reception report and your comments. Our toll-free number is 877-924-7722. That's 877-924-7722. We don't have too much longer in the broadcast, so we'd invite you to call in right away if you'd like to be on tonight's program. And we'd invite you to listen to all of our programs on our archive page and on the stations that I mentioned before, WWCR and WBCQ. Yeah, you mentioned you're up there helping with Barnes Review and the American Free Press. And I know myself that these publications and any publication that brings out the truth, and certainly I know when I've tried to advertise and buy airtime at times and different things, that we're often discriminated against by kosher conservatives even more than the Jews.
Absolutely.
False leaders.
Absolutely. I mean, that's certainly been my pain on my neck, are these people that supposedly should be close to us. And, you know, they say many of the right things, like you were saying, that our rights come from God and so on. But some of these people, they are the worst, whether it's in the political or the religious realm. They're the ones that hate the truth the most.
And like, they've sold us out over the years, and their whole philosophy is such as race mixing. They won't take a strong stand against it and say it's wrong. They'll come up, well, they used to say something like, well, it wasn't acceptable, therefore it shouldn't be done. Well, now it's acceptable, and they lost their argument. They won't come out and tell you that Yahweh's laws are superior and should be execute the homosexuals or, you know, any other capital crime. There's 21 different capital crimes in, according to Yahweh's laws. Or that absurd statement that I mentioned earlier by Mitt Romney, that man makes laws instead of God's laws, that he condemned people that believed in God's laws.
Well, they're placing the government in place of God. They're saying the state is higher than God, which, of course, was the Roman pantheon, the Roman Empire. You know, they tolerated all kinds of religions as long as you worship the state above these other religions. They could be fine. You could have anything you wanted under their empire. And, you know, when they were getting ready to fall. And it's horrible.
Well, they say that the rights come from government instead of rights.
Yeah, exactly. And our rights come from God. Even Jefferson said that very clearly. Our rights come from God. In fact, I don't know when I ran for a few years ago to U.S. Congress, and I had an ad that said, Jefferson said, our rights come from God. And the other part was quoting Isaiah that says, you know, if you commit abortion, your hands are full of blood. I forget the exact verse. I think it was 1:8, if I remember. It was Isaiah. But it was my ad quoted Thomas Jefferson saying, our rights come from God. The other one was a biblical verse. And because that was all that was in the ad, they censored it. And it's against the law to censor a political ad. But they were censored by ABC and NBC.
We're down to a half minute. Do you want to give any contact information or make some ending statements? Ours Our contact
I'm so tired. I give my address again if anybody wants it. Box 88, London, Arkansas, 72847. And I do want to say Mike certainly deserves your support. I know that he's been working very hard to get out Dr. Swift, and I got to apologize. I haven't been able to help him more. And Dr. Comparé's work and some of these other great preachers. And he's doing a tremendous service in doing that, and he needs your support.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.